Okay, good evening. We cannot talk about this on Lag BaOmer next week because Lag BaOmer is going to be over by the time it's time for the shiur next week. So we want to talk about Lag BaOmer now when it's still in an upcoming event. And the following is, much of it is based on a shiur given by Rav Asher Weiss in 1999 that was published in the Darkei Horah, which is the kovetz put out by his yeshiva, a bunch of years ago, almost 20 years ago, about related to Lag BaOmer. It's the most exhaustive discussion about it that I've seen. There is another Torah article that was published. It seems to be heavily based on Rav Asher Weiss's article in the Kovetz Beis Aharon v'Yisrael, which is a major Torah journal published by Karl and Stalin in Eretz Yisrael in America, in volume 100 by Rav Yonasan, a Weiner. He seems to base a lot of stuff on Rav Asher Weiss as well. And the question is as follows. The Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Lamed Gimel and Beis, which is a nice ironic thing with the Dapim, Daf Lamed Gimel, Lag BaOmer, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So, Azohu Berei, so Tashim Be Midrasha Koyoma. So, the son, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and his son, they had to run away. Luhu Debisaihu Rifta, Vakuza Demaya, Vikarchi Be Saka, Vixerasa. They were learning Torah. They made a Xer against them because they were teaching Torah. So, Amale Lebrei, Nasim Daisim Kala Le, and Dilma Misari Le, Megalilan Azu Tashu Be Marasa. So, they went into a cave. Israchish Nisa, a miracle happened. Ivriluhu Charuva. They Hashem made a carob tree appear for them, Ve'ena Demaya, and a stream of water. And they protected themselves. They hid themselves in the sand up until their necks. Bechala, Kulyama, Garse, and all day they would learn Torah. Be'idan Saluye, Love Shumichsu, Matsu, Vahadra Mashalchi Minayu, Kihechad Olivlu Iska, Trace Arshani Bamarasa. And they hid there in the cave for those 12, 13 years, depending on the calculation. And that's how they stayed alive. This is the story we know from when we were children about Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and his ability to learn Torah and the famous carob tree. So before we get to the carob tree and the question about the carob tree, let's look at what the Yerushalmi and Shvius in Perek Tes says about this carob tree. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Ovid Tamir Bemarasa, Tlas Asar Shanim. He was in the cave for 13 years, not 12 years, but 13 years. Bemaras Charuven de Truma. And he had a cave with a carob tree of truma. Now this expression, a charuven de truma, drives the commentaries crazy because it doesn't make any sense. What's a charuven de truma? A carob tree of truma? So there are three approaches. You could first go like the Vilna Gaon, who simply takes out the word de truma and says it doesn't make any sense, it's not part of the girsa, and just cut it out. He had a carob tree, nothing about truma. The Pnei Moshe is the second approach. The Pnei Moshe says it means it was a tree of miracles. It gave off an abundant amount. How do I know that Truma means an abundant amount? Because in Shmuel Beis, in the beginning of Perek Aleph, so after Shaul passes away, so David gives a kina, he gives a eulogy in memory of Shaul. And in that kina he says, Hare b'gilboa el tal umatar aleichem ustei surumos. That he describes the whatever he's describing as being plentiful and abundant, he describes as a field of truma. What does that mean? So the Radak says, based on the Midrashim, that it means a field that gives off an abundance of food. It's a praise of the land of Israel. And therefore, says the Pnei Moshe, that a charub and a truma means this carob tree, not only did it give off carobs, but it had a huge amount. It gave off a plentiful amount for two people, whatever that means. That's approach number two. The third is what Rav Asher Weiss says. He says that maybe it's a mistake. It should be charuven de tamara. There was a tree that was charuven, that was carobs, and also tamar, that was made up of dates. Because the Medrash Rabin, Esther and Kohelis both says that there were two trees Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai had. He had a carob tree and he had a date tree. And therefore the Yerushalmi fits with that. He had a carob tree and a date tree. And then he quotes this amazing Medrash. I don't know where he found this from, but it's the Medrash Talpios. It's not actually a book of Medrash. The Medrash Talpios was written by Rav Eliyahu HaKohen, who lived in the end of the 17th century. So he has a collection of different inyani agadata and amazing ideas. So listen to what he writes. Kasavli al-Chacham Hashem, I heard from Rav Yaakov Paraj, Sheshama Merav Yosef Boyash, who heard from this rabbi, Shekibel Merav Yonasan Galanti, who heard from Mipi Kadosh Midvar Marena Rav Moshe Galanati, he heard from his grandfather, Shekibel Mezakenim, who has a Kabbalah, Shekibel Ish Mipi Ish, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who has a Mesorah going back to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Sheilan Acharuven Shayala Rashbi, his carob tree, On Erev Shabbos became a date tree. And therefore, says Rav Asher, this is what the Gemara means. It's a charuv and a truma, de tamara. It's a carob tree that gave off dates. And this fits together, putting it all together. So that's just an interesting idea about the tree. Let's get to the real question is, this tree, the Gemara says it was a miracle that he had this tree out of nowhere and it gave him carobs and it let him live for 12 to 13 years. Wasn't this tree Orla? We know that the Torah says that a tree planted in its first 3 years, it's usher to partake of the fruit. So how was Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and his son Rabbi Elazar allowed to eat this fruit in order to continue to go if this fruit was Orla? So what's your initial answer? What? Pikuach Nefesh, right? The initial answer is Pikuach Nefesh. So the question then would be, why would Hashem choose an item to sustain them that's an Isser? Meaning Hashem could have given anything for them to live. Why didn't he give them cucumbers? There wouldn't be any Orla with cucumbers. Or why didn't he give them watermelon? Why did he choose something that he needed to rely on Pikuach Nefesh in order to save their life? What a strange thing to do. Right? There's a well-known Gemara in Chulin Daf Hei. The Gemara says, Behemtem shel tzadikim ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevi takala yadan. We have a tradition that even the animals of tzadikim, Hashem would not allow them to eat something that would of questionable kashrus origin. Tzadik and Atzman lo kol shekein, then also Hashem makes a promise, so to speak, that Hashem would not allow a great tzaddik to eat something of questionable kashrus, even though it was a mistake, even b'shogeg, Hashem wouldn't allow it to happen. So if that's the case, why would Hashem put Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai in a situation where he had to rely on pikuach nefesh to eat something that would be usher to eat? Very strange. So maybe he'll say as follows. He'll say it's not a takala, it's not a mistake, it's not a problem here. Why? Because pikuach nefesh is a great mitzvah. They didn't do anything wrong. It's a great mitzvah to save yourself. It's a great zechus to save yourself and be able to sustain one's living and be able to go on forever and ever as long as possible. So they didn't do anything wrong. And therefore, maybe this is not the same thing as eating shogeg, right? If I ate something that was asur b'shogeg by accident, I might still need kapara. I might still have to do tshuva for what I did. But if I eat something that is asur to eat and it was pikuach nefesh, would I have to do tshuva? Of course not. I did the right thing. There was no mistake had at all. So then he points out that he discusses in the Minchas Asher and Vayikra and Parsha Shmini in Simin Yud Ches, we know there's a concept in the Gemara of Timtum Halev, that if a person eats something that is not good in halacha, it has a negative spiritual impact on the person's neshama. It's not good for the soul of a Jewish person. This is an idea that Chazal speak about a number of areas. So the question is there Timtum Halev if you eat something that's usher because of pikuach nefesh, right? If a person puts a gun to your head and says, eat this cheeseburger or I'm going to kill you, and you eat it, does the eating of that cheeseburger have a negative spiritual impact on your neshama?
Talking about it after the show as well.
Same thing as well. But people didn't want to eat the questionable things because of, even though it was much because of pikuach nefesh, they didn't want to have the negative spiritual impact of those foods. So he says, it's a nafka mina and a machlokus between the Maharal and the Ramban. The Maharal in the Tiferes Yisrael and Parachet says, Timtum Halev comes from the act of the Avera. The Maharal says there's nothing inherently spiritual bad in any food. What's bad for the neshama is because you did an avera. The Ramban in Shmos in Perekhov Bey says, Anshe Kodesh Tiyun Li, you have to be holy, says the Ramban. What does that mean? There are things in the world that are the opposite of Kodesh. There are foods in the world that have a negative impact on you. And therefore, don't eat those things because it's bad for the Kiddush of the neshama of a Jew. And therefore, says Rav Asher, this is the nafka mina. According to the Maharal, who says Timtum Halev only comes from Avera, I didn't do an Avera. It was pikuach nefesh, it was the right thing to do. But according to the Ramban, who says that it's simply inherently bad in the world to eat these things, even if I eat b'toras pikuach nefesh, because the halacha demands it, it's still bad for the neshama, because this is not something for a nice Jewish boy to eat. This is how he clears the machlokas over here. And this is a greater discussion in other places as well. Regardless, says Rav Asher, it's unlikely that a Kadosh Baruch Hu would choose something that was usher to eat for Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai to save his life. Very strange thing to pick. This can also reject the possible answer that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai didn't know at the time that the tree was just grown. I mean, maybe you'll say, how was I supposed to know? Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai ate it because he thought it was there the whole time. So the same answer would be, why would Hashem set him up to do something, eat something that he shouldn't eat? Just to compound the issue over here about the tree that's being chosen, the Maharsha raises a different aspect. The Maharsha also notes that we know from the Gemara in Tainus by the story of Choni HaMa'agel, when he planted the tree and then he woke up 70 years later, that the Masorah is that a carob tree doesn't give fruit off for 70 years. Now we know in reality the carob tree does give fruit off within 70 years. You'll have to square that together with this medrash. Fine. So then he suggests three possible answers and he rejects all three. So let's go one at a time. The first suggestion is that perhaps maybe something made through a miracle is not what it appears to be. Maybe miraculous carobs are not, in fact, shame carobs. They're not charuvim, something else. It's a miraculous food that Hashem made, but it's not a carob, and therefore, it would not be responsible to have this, it wouldn't have a shame pre, and therefore, it wouldn't have the halachos connected to a normal pre. This is similar to a statement of the Divrei Chaim, the Sanzer Rav. The Sanzer Rav says that the oil that was used by the Chanukah miracle wasn't Shemen Zayis. It was something else. It was a new creation that Hashem had made. And we'll discuss that statement in a second. So similarly, the Shla writes in Parshas Vayeshev that the brothers, Yosef told Motzi Shemra and the brothers that they did what? That they ate Avram and Achai. So says the Shla, what were the brothers doing? They made a cow from the Sefer HaYetzirah using Kabbalah, and they ate from there. And therefore the Shla says, that thing that was made in a miraculous way, the laws of kashrus don't apply to it. It doesn't have a shame behema. And therefore, you can rip a limb from the animal because it's not considered Avram and Achai. This is all in the same school of thought. So he rejects this. And he says, Shemen Zayis from the Chanukah was natural oil that simply took on miraculous properties. It wasn't something made by Hashem. It was real oil that then had a miracle occur to it. So he quotes the Gemara in Shabbos Chafalf that says, V'hidliku mimenu shmoni yamim, meaning it continued to burn from it 8 days. So it's not like Hashem had miraculous oil lying in wait in the Beis HaMikdash. It was oil that was normal, that took on miraculous properties. Regardless, it was certainly oil. If it smells like oil, it tastes like oil, it acts like oil, it's oil, he says. The Gemara in Menachos Samech Ches, look at this Gemara. Boy Rav Zera, the Gemara says, the Rav Zera asked, Chitin Shiyardu Be'avim Mahu, wheat that falls from the sky, what is its halacha? Look at Tosus before we continue in the Gemara. Nirlid Al Yidei Nes Yardu Be'avim, miraculous wheat that falls from the sky. What is its status? Lamai ila menachos. It can be used for menachos in the Beis HaMikdash. Lo elo l'shtei halacha, maybe for the shtei halacha on Shavuos. Mai, because it says, mimosh vosechem. It has to be something that comes from mosh vosechem, from your dwelling area. And this did not come from here. It came from Shemayim. So amar rachman ala fuke to chutz laretz. This is certainly something that comes from chutz laretz, right? So what do we see from here? The only question the Gemara has is if this fulfills mimosh vosechem. But what does the Gemara clearly understand? It's wheat. Nobody's saying it's not wheat. Something that happens in a miraculous way is still that thing, even though it came about in a strange way. Another Gemara. The Gemara in Sanhedrin Nun Tes Mabez records that Rabbi Shimon Bar Chalafta, right? Rabbi Shimon Bar Chalafta, Havi Ka'azil Be'urcha, Pogo Be'hanach Araisa, he came across a lion, Dehavu Kanahame La'ape. So Amar HaKfirim Shoagim La'Taref, Hashem save me, the lions are going to tear me apart. Nasina Luhu Tarte Etmana, and two pieces of meat fell from the sky. And they came down from Shemayim. So Achlu Chada, Chada Achlu, one the lion ate. V'chada Shevku Isi, the extra one he took. V'asa the Bay Midrasha, and he took it to the Beis Medrash. And Bayala, he asked, Davar Tamehu, Ozeo Davar Tahar. This meat, this animal piece that seemed to fall from heaven, is that Tahar, is it Tameh? Is it pure or is it impure? So Amalan, Ein Davar Tameh Yerim Shemayim. Something that's impure cannot come from the heavens. Some animal piece must be pure. So we see from here as well, what is it pasha to everyone? It's basar. Did it come down in a miraculous fashion? The question was not of this meat. The question was, is it tahor or tame? So another gemara indicating something that comes about in a miraculous way is still that thing. It's still considered, you know, meat or oil, or in our case, carobs. It has a shame pre. He also cites the Radak. We didn't bring this inside here, but the Radak writes Malachim Beis, when the wife of Ovadia Hanavi asks Elisha for oil to be able to sustain herself, right? The story of Elisha and the woman who needed oil. So the Tosefta says that the wife of Avadja asked Elisha if the oil that miraculously multiplied in the jars was chayv and meiser. And Elisha told her that since it increased through a miracle, it's putter. But what do we see here? It still has a shame shemen. She didn't say it's not oil. She just said it increased in miraculous fashion. So you're not chayiv in what happened in that miraculous way. The Teshuvah Chacham Sofer says that in fact there was no real miracle. The Chacham Sofer writes in the Teshuvah in Siman Kuf Zadi Zayin that what happened was is that Hashem made it that there was no more oil left in an area, and therefore the price of oil went up, and she had it, and that's how she made money. But there was nothing necessarily miraculous about the oil at the end of the day. Finally, one more Gemara. We didn't bring it here as well. The Gemara Nida Samach Aleph says that you can bury someone in Shatnez, because when they come back to life, there won't be Chayv and Mitzvos. That's what the Gemara says. That's all discussion. How does that work? By Tchias HaMesim, we're not going to have Mitzvos anymore. That's a piece in the Rashba. Rav Chanan Wasserman discusses this. But we see from the Gemara, says the Ritva has a suffix, whether anyone who comes back to life is chayv and misos. But his question is not, is he a human being? Is he a shamed Adam? The question is whether they have the status of someone who was ba'asid lavo in the days of Mashiach. So we see from these four and five Gemaras that when something happens in a miraculous way, b'derech neis, it is still that thing. It's not an otherworldly identity. It's still that thing. So therefore he rejects the option to say that it doesn't have a shame pre. Obviously that carob tree was a tree like any other tree in the world. So therefore, back to step one, why isn't the chayv an orla? Reason number two, that it might be patra. Perhaps it does have a shame pre, but maybe something made bederech neis doesn't have isurim. Maybe if Hashem has something come about in a miraculous fashion, we assume, how could this be usher? Hashem made it. It's a beautiful thing, a miracle. It can't be usher.
They say here that everything comes from the Shemaim is tahor.
It's tahor, right? So that's the Gemara in Sanhedrin, right? The Rabbanan said something that comes, something's tamei doesn't come from Shemayim. So this logic, by the way, this assumption answers the question, on this particular case of the oral between Rosh Hashanah and Chai, is where Avad Yosef writes in the Meirli, in the Maor Yisrael in Chelek Aleph. He suggests this as well. And other Darshanim want to suggest this. The Belzer Rebbe suggests this idea, number of Svarim, that since it's made Bederech Neis, it can't have any Yisroim attached to it. So therefore, Rav Asher Weiss says as follows. He says, there's a difference between something coming down Min HaShemayim and something created Bederech Neis. He says, I'll give you, if a ham sandwich falls from heaven, then we can discuss whether that's us or not. We can have that discussion. But here, this came about in the most natural way. It popped up from the ground. It looks like a tree. It acts like a tree. Why would I think that that is something that should not carry Yisurim? And he says, in addition, there's a difference between saying that something is Tameh, doesn't come from Shemayim, and saying that something is Isser. Tumah is Tumah and Tara, laws of purity and impurity. Why does that mean it's allowed to eat? The Chacham didn't say that that leg was mutter to eat. They just said it wasn't tameh. That's not the same thing. Also, you can be mechalik between something that is inherently iser and orla, because orla isn't inherently iser. It's only usher for the first 3 years. And therefore, maybe another reason there to say that it should be usher at that time. So therefore, he rejects the idea that everything that's made in a miraculous fashion can't be prohibited. So what's the third suggestion, he says? Perhaps something made bederech neis is a pri. We'll agree it's a fruit. And it's possible that to have isurim, negative prohibitions attached to it, but perhaps it isn't chayiv in mitzvos hatuluyos baretz. Maybe this carob tree wasn't chayiv in the mitzvos dependent on the land of Israel, even though it was in Eretz Israel, because this is not technically gedulo min haaretz. It didn't grow naturally through the land, the holiness of the land of Israel. It happened like that, through Hashem's a miracle. And therefore, maybe we'll suggest it's not chayiv in Orla, because it didn't grow technically in Eretz Yisrael. However, he says, there's a difference between something miraculously made in a container and something growing from the ground in a normal manner, right? It is a gedulei karka. He says, don't tell me just because Hashem gave it extra miracle grow means that it didn't grow through the land of Israel. Of course it did. And therefore he rejects that suggestion as well. So how does he answer it at the end of the day? So he suggests as follows. He says that, he says this as well, and then I saw subsequently Reb Chaim Kanievsky in his own writings, in his Derech Emuna, which is his Perush on the Rambam's Zrayim, in Meiser Sheni, in Perek Yud Vav, he says this, and I saw that Rav Pinchas Hirshsprung in his writing as well also independently says it, and the Damasik Eliezer, the Vizhinzer Rebbe, in the end of his Sefer as well, suggests this. All through four of them independently say the same thing. They cite a Rambam. Oh, I forgot to bring the Rambam here. My apologies. The Rambam writes in Maaser Sheni in Perek Yud. He says that a tree that grows on their own in a rocky terrain is patur from Orla. That's the halacha, the Rambam says. A tree that grows on its own, you didn't plant it. Naturally, the seeds of the wind picked it up and it happened to grow by itself. And it grows in a rocky area, a place that's not normally inhabited, is patur and Orla. Why? Because it wasn't anybody's intention at any point that this should become something that anyone's going to eat from. And this is cited, lahalacha, by the Shulchan Aruch in Yerodeya, in Simen Reish Saridad. And the Rambam does add, though, if the tree produces enough that it's worthwhile to maintain it, then the Issur Orla does apply to it, even if it's in the rocky terrain.
It's like in Shemitah, that some gidulim go not under the ground, so they say that you can eat it in Shemitah, no?
Like mushrooms?
It's not growing on the ground. It's growing.
Oh, things like that?
Yeah, I think there are some gidulim.
Something like that. So yeah, he's...
You can eat fruit that's sure is. It just that you can...
Correct. It's not an isser. Correct. 100%. For sure. So he says... So he says there's a difference because the missionary Shona, one of the commentaries in the Mishnayos in Orla and Perek Aleph, says that if you build a house next to a tree that naturally grew on its own, it's still patur from Orla. Meaning, it's true that Rav Shimon bar Yochai and his son ends up living there, but that tree must have been there before them. It was there waiting for them. It needs to be in a makam yeshuv, in a very big settlement. One singular house does not make a place a yeshuv. It needs to be a lot of people. If it is only one person living near the tree, it doesn't become chayv in Orla. And therefore, they all want to suggest that since it was only Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and his son, and the tree grew in this uninhabited area, therefore, on its own, it wasn't planted by anyone, therefore it's patur and Orla, like the Rambam, and the Rambam answers up the whole thing, and there's no kasha, because the tree came about by itself. So I just want to add one point to that. Rav Reuven Margolyos, the famed author, the author of the Margolyos Hayam and Sanhedrin, other Sfarim as well, so he has a parish on the Zohar called the Netzutzei HaZohar. It's on the Tikkunei Zohar. So, in the very first comment, he has a footnote on the Tikkunei Zohar that talks about Rav Shimon bar Yochai, and he cites a Yireim. Look at this Yireim. He says, "Kedetanya b'tosefta ha'ola me'elav, a tree that grows by itself, l'rabim patra min orla. It's technically patra. Aval ha'ola me'aleha li'yachid chayev. V'tama, why? Kevan d'li'yachid hunira kenotam, because it will be maris ayin. It will be maris ayin. People will think that you went and planted this. They're not going to know it planted by itself. And therefore, an individual can't go and partake of a tree that grows by itself, says the Rambam, because of maris ayin. So he rejects this and says that there's Yushalmi in Chal and Perek Dal. The Yushalmi says that if you're on a boat and nobody else is on the boat and it's impossible that anyone would ever find you, there's no maris ayin. It doesn't apply. Because it's not likely anyone's ever going to see it. He says, this is not the same thing as Chedre Chadarim, right? It's not, by Chedre Chadarim, it's possible that someone's going to come, there's an idea over there. But
he says this is Yachid or Rabbim.
What?
Because there was two.
He doesn't consider that Rabbim. He doesn't consider it Rabbim. And therefore, Rav Reuven Margolyos wants to say, because it was only Rav Shimon bar Yochai and his son, there's no Maris Ayin, because no one's ever going to see that tree again. The tree's going to disappear, and that's going to be it, and therefore, it's not a problem over here. So that's the opinion brought by the Poskim and the Darshanim at the end of the day about why the tree wasn't a problem, because it grew by itself. Lefina Yasdaita, I want to suggest a different answer. I didn't see anybody else say, but we'll try to suggest it over here now. There is a tshuva of the Radbaz. The Radbaz writes in the tshuva in Simen Tav Kuf Lamed Aleph regarding the rules of what makes something a fruit or a vegetable, and therefore, if you know if it's a fruit or a vegetable, whether it's chayv and orla or not, right? If it's a fruit, it's chayv and orla, and if it's a vegetable, it won't be chayv and orla. So let me read to you what he says. Again, I forgot to put it here on the page, but he says, V'nischadesh li tam acher. I want to tell you something. She'ein b'chol mina ilan she'zorn ha'garein v'oseh pri b'soch shnaso kazeh hilkach yaraku. He says, if you plant something, and you plant a seed, and it produces a fruit within 1 year of its being planted, less than a year, it's not considered a pre. It's considered a yerek. A pre, by definition, means that the base, the trunk, has to develop and grow, and then only after the year gives off fruit. But if you plant something in a year like that, it gives off fruit, it's not considered a pre, it's a yerek. And therefore, any such pre would be considered a yerek. And therefore, perhaps one should suggest that it would be in this case as well. When that tree was planted by Hashem, it gave off the fruit within a year. It gave off the fruit within a day. And therefore, according to the Radvaz, we could say as well that the tree would never be chayv in Orla because it wasn't a pre at all. Rabbi Shimon Yochai, according to this tree, made ha'adama on that fruit and not a ha'itz because it was a yarek, because it gave off fruit within a year. This chaps and nafkamina nowadays regarding only one fruit that I know of, and that is papaya. Papaya, under the right circumstances, if it is grown properly, you can put a seed in the ground and get a fruit within less than a year. It grows very quickly, it moves very fast, and then dies very quickly. So papaya is one thing. That's a machlokas aposkim, what the bracha on papaya is, because of this interesting nature, because of this shumas the Radvaz, that it grows very quickly. Rav Osner and other poskim say that we don't pass like the Radbaz, but other poskim say we do, and therefore this would come out of Nafkamina about the tree that's planted and gives off fruit within 1 year. So perhaps that's another explanation to this as well.
Banana tree.
Bananas are different. The issue with bananas is that banana tree dies, and therefore because the tree dies and has to be replanted manually, it's not considered a perennial, and therefore if it's not a perennial, it's not considered heights. A fruit. Okay, very good. We should all have a wonderful Lag BaOmer.